Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome to episode 98 of Dracena Wines Podcast. I am still in New York City at Vin Expo, but today I am talking bubbles. When you hear the words amazing sparkling wine, where do you think of? France? Probably. The U.S., Spain, Italy? Absolutely. But I am here to share with you a new region for you to explore exceptional sparkling, Brazil. Today, I am interviewing representatives of a few wineries that produce sparkling wine in Brazil. The winery sizes vary from boutique wines to multi-million bottle productions. But they all have one thing in common, a passion for sparkling, and the desire for us in the United States to realize how fantastic their quality is. As always, I'm asking for that favor to scroll or swipe or do whatever you need to do to get to that rate and review section and to leave us a review to help others find us. Enjoy. Sláinte. So I'm here at Vin Expo today, and I am at the Wines of Brazil section, and I have been introduced to Mary Balson, who is representing Amazing Wines, and it is actually sparkling wine. So my first taste of Brazilian wine is way to go with sparkling. And so we're going to introduce Mary and let her explain where the name came from and what the goal is.
Hello, nice to meet you. So it's a great pleasure to be the first introducer to the sparkling wine, Brazilian wine. So we are a cooperative in south of Brazil. The town is Garibaldi, as the name of the cooperative. We have more than 400 cooperate on this cooperative working together like a family. And they are prepared to produce the best grapes to produce this sparkling wine. So they are being teached or coaching all the time with the best and good practices to arrive in the good quality grapes. And as a cooperative, they don't see a profit selling the sparkling wine, but they see to sell the best grapes for the cooperative. So because of this, this is a very nice value to sell a company as a family. And the value of the bottle is not too high versus a small price. But even we have a very high quality because the sparkling wine, Chardonnay is for an example. We won like 100 the best sparkling wine in the world in France, and comparing to the champagne.
Right.
So it was a very nice gift for us because they arrived in a goal decided to more than 12 years ago. So we have a very nice line in sparkling wine, Charmat, and also Asti process in white Moscato or Rosé Moscato.
And so you were mentioning that you have more than just the Chardonnay and the Moscato. You also do a Rosé Moscato, but you have other sparkling wines or just those three?
So we have in line 7 different sparkling wines. We have a Rosé Root, with Cabernet and Merlot. We have a white 100% Pinot Noir. A white one is a Riesling and Trebbiano. And the two of them, we have our Demi-Sec and the Rosé Moscato as Moscato Rosé. So we have 7 different sparkling wines. But here we have only 2.
So what about the sparkling? Is sparkling a big thing in Brazil or is it an up-and-coming thing?
This has happened 12 years ago, the explosion, the boom of the sparkling wine, because the terroir in our region, Serra Gaúcha region, we have a very nice climate, land, and the process to produce the sparkling wine in the high quality. And so the cooperative decided to produce more sparkling wine because it's very nice and it's very quickly to produce, and the process we can arrive in the best. That you can even it's easy to sell a sparkling wine than a wine because the wine is a competition is very hard. So we sell better sparkling wine than the wine, still wine.
So your niche is the sparkling.
Yeah, it was a decision from the president or corporate to produce more sparkling wine because they are best in production sparkling wine, so decided.
And you had mentioned earlier that it's a cooperative, there's 400 farmers working together?
Yes, they work like a family because they are very small producer. As the biggest part is 3 hectares, small producer. So they are working together as a family and they decided to produce together. It's impossible to each them to produce for each sparkling wine, and the best decision it was founded this cooperative and they sell this grape together on the cooperative. So they are very nice, made the decision to produce together, and they arrive in this best sparkling wine, won many hours around the world. This is good for us to achieve this objective.
So just to elaborate on the cooperative, they all are growing their own individual grapes, but then when it comes time to harvest, they're picking and choosing their select best grapes from each of the vineyard sites, and then they all come together to produce the wine?
Yes, exactly. They have the cooperative has 8 nucleus for teaching or coaching them, and during the harvest time, they have enough following of a technical portion to decide if they pick the grape today or wait for more 2 or 3 days. So they have technical support all the time, and they send the grape on the cooperative when the grape is ready to be cut.
And do you, technical wise, do you know at what level they're picking, like what the sugar content is that they're picking at?
As this producers decide to produce the grape for the sparkling wine, they decide to have a very nice acidity level and not too much sugar, but as well have to pay attention to the level of the sugar and contents to arrive in the 12 degrees alcohol. So they decide to pick the grape for the sparkling wine specialized on sparkling.
And if you wanted my listeners to know one thing about your cooperative, about the amazing wines, what would that be?
So they are so happy to sell amazing brands in the U.S. And for them is a special opportunity to see the products ready to be sold in the U.S. as a very nice product in the final production. So this is a very nice opportunity to the cooperative to be in the market, best market in part, and also the consumption in the world is the U.S.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So continuing with the sparklings of Brazil, I am now speaking with Cassio Couture of Petrolongo, and he has introduced me to his first sparkling, which is actually labeled as a Prosecco, and it's an interesting story of being able to call it Prosecco. So first, if you just kind of introduce yourself and, you know, tell people a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into the Prosecco.
Hello guys, I'm Cassio from Petrolongo in Brazil, and I'm the export supervisor in Brazil, and we are here in New York trying to find distributors, importers, and to make our brand known as well, Brazil known as a sparkling wine producer and still wine too.
Okay, excellent. So the first wine you poured me was a Prosecco.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that by the name of it, you're making it in the Prosecco method with the Glera grape. So how does this come about in Brazil?
Yeah, in Brazil we still can call the name Prosecco because of the origin denomination from Italy that is still going on the process, but outside of Brazil we already can use the name, so we would call only a Brut, the brand name, but a longer Brut of Glera grape. That's the use of the name outside of Brazil.
And how common is the Glera grape in Brazil?
It's not so common, but several wineries has the Prosecco, so it's a very adapted grape in Brazil. Not so common for different types of sparkling wines, but for Prosecco it's perfect. It's a very good product that remembers a lot the Prosecco from Italy.
Okay, excellent.
So the next one is our boot from Charmat Method. It's our already fine line, our first fine line. So we have a few better than this one, but okay, it's already a very good line.
So this is more like your entry line.
Yeah, okay. Entry line of fine, defined products, defined sparkling wines. So it's also a Charmat Method with a blend of Chardonnay and Italic Riesling, two grapes.
I'm not familiar with the second grape, so yeah. Do you know a little bit about the grape itself?
Yeah, it's a grape that has been very adapted to in Brazil. We use a lot for our Charmat Method products, sparkling wines, and it's Italian Riesling. So it's a very good product too, refreshing, and you'll taste it now.
Okay.
The next one is our Privilege line. It's already a more premium. It's made of traditional method, so it's a very, very sophisticated product with 18 months release, and it's a blend of 75% Chardonnay and 25% Pinot Noir.
Okay, so true, true champagne method.
Yeah. So I was telling that Pitalongo is the only winery in Brazil that can call their products champagne. We only use for one line because it's the most premium line, and it's called Elegance. That is a line with 36 months surly. It's a very premium product, and we can call it because when the winery has been founded in 1915, we already produced the sparkling wine. That's why we still call the first Brazilian sparkling wine, because we already produce sparkling wines in Brazil. There were other wineries that are oldest than us, but they didn't produce sparkling wines in that moment. And when the founder came from Italy, he started producing sparkling wines that was champagne at that time. So that's why we still use it.
So you said that the winery was founded in 1915?
Yeah.
Has it been in the same family generation after generation?
Yeah, it has been until 2001, when it has been sold to another owners that are the same of today. But until that was the family that was taking charge of all the winery process.
And did they keep the name or did the name change?
No, the same name.
The same name.
Same name, almost the same brands. Just more improvements and different labels, more modern labels, something like that. We are trying to reach a different standard.
Excellent. And if you had to say one thing to listeners about Pitalongo, what, besides the fact that you get to call it champagne, which is pretty impressive, what would you want the people to know? What, if they're going to go out and look for Pitalongo, what do you want them to know?
Yeah, it's interesting because We aren't very known outside, mainly in the United States. There are a few wineries that are already here, but Brazil has great products, mainly for sparkling wines, still wines too, great products. And Pitalongo has been working hard on it, and we are trying to show that to the world, and we need to get that chance to show the opportunity, because it's very worth it.
And how big is Pitalongo? How many bottles are you producing per year?
Per year, we have a bigger capacity, but at the moment we produce around 5 or 6 million bottles per year. It's a very huge
proportion. All sparkling?
No, for all products. We produce. We also produce still wines, juice, sweet filtered, non-alcoholic products, semi-sparkling, that's presented. We have a big range of products.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, continuing with the sparkling
I am now speaking with Marina. I wanted to hear.
of Lidio Ferraro Wines. So if you could start off with just telling us about the winery itself,
sure.
The basic history, what it's all about.
Absolutely. So, hello. It's a winery south of Brazil, right on top of Uruguay. Family vineyard, five generations. They really focus on purest wine philosophy, so all of the wines are unoaked, unfiltered, hand-harvested, and they are considered 100% vegan as well. So no extra sugars, stainless steel barrels. They really believe in minimal intervention.
So five generations, and what is their overall production?
So they produce about 400,000 bottles a year.
And
excuse me,
how
are you? Do you have any dirty glasses you would like me to use? Would you like new ones?
Oh, right, that's fine. But you do produce more than one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So how many sparklings do you produce?
I would say about five. Five sparklings, yes.
Across a variety of grapes?
Would you like to dump this out for you, ma'am?
They stick to the Chardonnay, I would say.
So Carino was pointing out their wines that they produce, and Rafael came over and gave us some very information. There's different labels that they have, and one of the labels is Fasis, and he's going to tell us a bit about that label.
So Fasis produces high-end sparkling wines with the Charmat method in Brazil. Some of their sparklings have been featured, for example, in Rock and Rio 2017, the Olympic Games in 2016, the FIFA World Cup. It was opened and celebrated at the podium for the champions of the World Cup. And just recently in 2015, Rio Open Tennis as well. Whenever there's any gathering of that sort, they are celebrating the champions, first, second, and third place with Lidio Ferraro wines.
That's incredible. How did that come about? Was it a competition for the best sparkling wines, and they won, and now they just have that reputation of being there? Or
it goes back to what Karina said earlier about their purist philosophy, their quality of the wines that they're producing out in their vineyard. It's just something that over time, I think it speaks for itself that the wines are great in quality, high in expression as of the terroir and everything that's being made in south of Brazil. It is an untapped region of the world, but I'm not sure if Karina mentioned to you earlier, it is also one of the highest rated wines in south Brazil, getting scores up to 94 points from Jason Robinson, which is amazing. And Steven Spurrier from the Cantor magazine picked it as his favorite winery in Brazil. So quality over time, I think people speak amongst themselves, and I am not sure if the winery itself had to go into some sort of competition to get to where it got as far as podium placements. But what I do know for sure that it, like I said, it is a great quality, and we're very happy to represent it.
That's excellent. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So the winery's name is Lidio Ferraro. So the sparkling is actually Divas. So if you can tell us about the name, what it means, and why it's called that.
So Divas actually means life's gifts. And the winery really likes to represent the fact that sparkling doesn't have to be just for a special event. You can celebrate life at all points. You know, if it's a special occasion or just, you know, a great Monday, that's really what they are behind. And I wish you guys could see the label, actually, because it someone's hand with the grapes, and because to them, you know, life is pretty much the grapes, and they'll have it right at your fingertips, and you know all the beauty that you have.
That's excellent. And this is available in the United States? Or?
Absolutely, yes. So it is currently available in the U.S., and I'm actually the distributor from New York and New Jersey. So if anyone is interested,
where in New Jersey? Because that's actually where it is.
All over New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. There, in Newark, definitely there's a strong Brazilian presence. So they are restaurants in New Jersey. Some liquor stores.
Yeah, why not? Can you take this?
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Looking to be in the know about Dracena Wines? Want to know when we release our new wines? Find out about all of our accolades and get some behind-the-scenes information? Well, all you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You will immediately get a code for a special discount on all of our wines and be privy to newsletter-only specials. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Sign up simply by heading to our website, dracenawines.com, and fill out the pop-up or sidebar. It will take less than a minute of your time, but the rewards will last forever. I am now at Viollo's table, and I am speaking with Robert Montgomery, and he is actually the importer.
Importer, right, and distributor here in the U.S. market. We actually were introduced to the product 2016. One of my associates was traveling, was at the Olympics, and discovered the sparkling varietals of Viollo, which is the second largest producer of Brazilian wine in Brazil. We fell in love with the sparkling wine and thought we would bring something new to the market because Brazilian wines are actually very, very good products, but not very well known here. You know, Chile, you know, Argentina, Uruguay, but you're not really familiar with, or U.S. consumers, with Brazilian wines. But they do an outstanding sparkling product, which is Miolo Traditional, Miolo Rosé, and a demi-sec, which is semi-sweet. 50% cab, 50% Pinot Noir, the grapes, but they're outstanding products.
And what is the price point here in California?
The price points,
I'm in California in my brain.
So that's one of the attractive things about this particular product that we, as a company, wanted to import it. So you can actually get a bottle of the sparkling wine for about $12, $13, depending on who the retailer is. Some places in the Manhattan area, 15 or more, but generally around $12, $13 for one of the sparkling varieties.
So going back to Brazil and not really being well known here in America, why do you think that is? Do you think they're not producing the large enough quantities, or we're just not seeing them yet?
So over the years, from what I understand, is Brazil, they tried to reach U.S. consumers, but I don't think they've done a great PR and marketing of their particular products, as opposed to Chile and Argentina and some of the other countries that just have great PR for their products. They have Malbecs and a few other brands. And I think that's just pretty much what the scenario is then. They just haven't had good PR. They've been in, tried to enter the U.S. market on a few occasions. Didn't have anyone, I believe, here on the ground really kind of doing the footwork. So they kind of faded out. No one's really was checking for them. So that's what this is all about. What we're trying to do is to introduce U.S. consumers to their product, which is a great product. It just needs to be exposed.
And are Brazilians drinking sparkling or still wine more, which equally?
I think they are on occasion, but not as much as probably the U.S. consumer. I think Brazilian, I don't know this to be a fact, but from some of my colleagues, I understand they like more sweeter cachaças and things of that nature. But don't quote me on that.
Right.
The U.S. consumers now, rosé is growing here in the market. Where consumers are seeking more rosés and sparkling proseccos, and so it's a good opportunity to be introduced to the sparkling wines of Brazil.
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah.
I am with Salama Zafir of Bueno Wines, and he is pouring me a sparkling wine, and he's going to tell us about the winery and about the history.
Good afternoon.
Yep.
Our winery is from Galvão Bueno. He's a famous guy from Brazil, from TV, football, from TV, from Brazil, and these guys love our wines. So he decided to make his own wines, and this starts about 10 years ago, and we have a very high quality. Made now 14 brands. We have a winery in Montalcino, we make a Brunellos, a small quantity, it's about 15,000 bottles a year. And we have a winery in Candioca, Rio Grande do Sul. We make about 400 liters, 1,000 liters a year. And the most important thing, those are Spartans. And we have a very good quality of those. And it's exciting to be here in New York. Just export to China, Portugal. We are in Florida now. And being in New York, we're supposed to be here sometime.
So another athlete who fell in love with wine and decided to start his winery.
Yes.
Yes.
It's wonderful for us to be here. We made a dinner in December here in New York at Guatan Hall with Massimo Bottura, the first chef of the world, the second one Marco Colagreco, and the third one is Juan Roca. And we put our wines there.
So
it's a wonderful dinner. You can check our websites to see this dinner in Guatan Hall in December with those three best chefs in the world. And we received the wine of the night. So it's a pleasure for us.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So let's try this one.
I am going to try the stills after I'm done with the sparkling. So just tell me about the sparkling itself. Do you make more than one sparkling?
We make now three kinds of sparkling.
Okay.
We have two Charmat. The first one is a Brut. The second one is Rosé. And we make the best one, a Méthode Champenoise. It's look like a France, the same thing like France. It's 18 months and oak. It's very, very special. We try.
Excellent. And so, as I had said previously, I'm really unfamiliar with Brazilian wines in general. This is actually my first experience with Brazilian wines, and the sparkling is wonderful, and there's several wineries that make a sparkling. Is sparkling wine big in Brazil?
Yes. The sparkling wine is very growing up in Brazil. And for me, the best thing, I have to try those wines to make a blind taste. If you put my sparkling wine with those champagnes from France, something like that, in blind taste, it'll be a pleasure for us to see the results. For me, the blind taste is the best thing to try my wines.
And the in Brazil itself, what would you say is the percentage of sparkling production versus still production?
It's about 65-70%.
Really?
Yes, as far as it's about that.
Oh, I had no idea it was that big, because it's not big here. We don't get to see a lot of Brazilian wines, or I haven't seen a lot of Brazilian wines. Why do you think that's so?
We make a very, very good sparkling. We make a very good wines also, but the sparkling sell too much.
At home?
Too much. In Brazil, and to export. I export now to Portugal. A container is about 5, just start right now. A week ago, 5,000 bottles to put there, so only sparkling, so it's very good for us.
That's excellent. It's bad for us that we can't always get it, but maybe that's changing. That's why you're here at Vin Expo, right?
It's so good. It's very good for us.
Okay. That's right. What grapes are being used? You poured me one sparkling, so let's talk about that individual sparkling.
We have many kinds of grapes, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot. So we have some kind of Charmat. We make Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. The other ones are Merlot, Pinot Noir, and Cabernet Sauvignon. We have many kinds of grapes to mix.
Okay, and are these all... Are these estate grapes that you're using? Are they your grapes, or do you sourcing?
No, it's our grapes. We have our productions, our grapes. Everything is for winery. We don't buy nothing. It's everything for us.
And offhand, about how many hectares do you have under vine?
400.
400. Excellent. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!